Well, he probably used up a lot of resources helping me knock you out, I say mischievously.
Yeah, about that, says Peter, entwining his fingers in mine. Don't try something like that again.
Or what? I ask.
Or...
He can't think of anything good.
Just give me a minute.
What's the problem? I say with a grin.
The problem is we're both still alive, which only reinforces the idea in your mind that you did the right thing, says Peeta.
I did do the right thing, I say.
No, just don't, Katniss.
His grip tightens, hurting my hand, and there's real anger in his voice.
Don't die for me. You won't be doing me any favors, all right?
I'm startled by his intensity, but recognize an excellent opportunity for getting food, so I try to keep up.
Maybe I did it for myself, Peeta. Did you ever think of that? Maybe you aren't the only one who worries about what it would be like if...
I fumble. I'm not as smooth with words as Peeta. And while I'm talking, the idea of actually losing Peeta hit me again, and I realized how much I don't want him to die.
And it's not about the sponsors, and it's not about what will happen back home, and it's not just that I don't want to be alone. It's him. I do not want to lose the boy with the bread.
If what, Katniss? He says softly.
I wish I could pull the shutters closed, blocking out this moment from the prying eyes of Panem. Even if it means losing food, whatever I'm feeling, it's no one's business but mine.
That's exactly the kind of topic Haymitch told me to steer clear of, I say evasively, although Haymitch never said anything of the kind. In fact, he's probably cursing me out right now for dropping the ball during such an emotionally charged moment. But Peeta somehow catches it.
Then I'll just have to fill in the blanks myself, he says, and moves into me.
This is the first kiss that we're both fully aware of, neither of us hobbled by sickness or pain or simply unconscious, our lips neither burning with fever or icy cold. This is the first kiss where I actually feel stirring inside my chest, warm and curious. This is the first kiss that makes me want another. But I don't get it. Well, I do get a second kiss, but it's just a light one on the tip of my nose because Peeta's been distracted.
I think your wound is bleeding again. Come on, lie down. It's bedtime anyway, he says.
My socks are dry enough to wear now. I make Peeta put his jacket back on. The damp cold seems to cut right down to my bones, so he must be half frozen. I insist on taking the first watch, too, although neither of us think it's likely anyone will come in this weather. But he won't agree unless I'm in the bag, too, and I'm shivering so hard that it is pointless to object. In stark contrast to 2 nights ago, when I felt Peeta was a million miles away, I'm struck by his immediacy now. As we settle in, he pulls my head down to use his arm as a pillow. The other rests protectively over me even when he goes to sleep. No one has held me like this in such a long time. Since my father died and I stopped trusting my mother, no one else's arms have made me feel this safe. With the aid of the glasses, I lie watching the drips of water splatter on the cave floor, rhythmic and lulling. Several times I drift off briefly and then snap awake, guilty and angry with myself. After 3 or 4 hours, I can't help it. I have to rouse Peeta because I can't keep my eyes open. He doesn't seem to mind. Tomorrow, when it's dry, I'll find us a place so high in the trees we can both sleep in peace.
I promise, as I drift off.